Hallelujah. Well, I can see it's a split church. We got a lot on this side. If we were a boat, we'd be tipping over. But that's okay. Now, Harry's going over there. Yeah, Harry, the weight of your glory, you know, just that's all that we needed. Hallelujah. I could feel it balance out just with Harry getting over there. So hallelujah. Thank you for everyone that's with us tonight. We appreciate Dayton being here, Tulsa being here, Wyoming, Colorado, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, several places. We what's that?
Lehigh.
Yeah. Fort Myers. Lehigh, praise God. Lehigh. Man, that's awesome. All the way from Lehigh Acres, L.A., all the way from Lehigh Acres. That's so the, you know, the last, you know, we got people from Tulsa. It's amazing the technology today. And you've heard me say, Paul would say, you know, why in the world have you not got the world won? So you can be sitting in Dayton and be here in Immokalee at the same time. Hey, we've been having some really nice, right, this time of year is not the hot mosquito control, you know, problems that we have during the summer. What's it, upper 40s this morning? Yeah, upper 40s, really nice. Now, we know that's not cold for you guys, but it's just nice, really nice during the day. It's amazing, people from other states a lot of times, if they haven't been down here, they think there's an alligator in everybody's front yard. I've never seen one in my yard. There's a python in every bush. I've never even seen a python in the wild, so I don't know. I guess they're down here. I know they are, and I know they're around us someplace. But we do have lots of lizards, and if you like lizards, and you know those... There's millions of those little lizards. Now, I saw some of those bigger ones the other day. They've migrated, and you know the ones that are like this big and different colors? I saw the kids were in I went in the backyard, and one went right up an oak tree, and I was like, oh, my God, they're here. I was working out in the garage, and I looked, and one of them came around the corner. I go, oh, God, I hadn't seen those before. I don't want those to – I mean, they're big enough you can shoot them with your shotgun. So, but my wife – now, I'll tell you, I got me a woman because she's – you know, if it's one of those small lizards, she doesn't come out and say, come out here and get this one off the screen enclosure. She just walks over there and just grabs it and takes it out and tosses it in the yard, which is great. The only thing, she will not do that with a frog. If there's a frog, I got to come get the frog. So, you know, but there's not an alligator in every yard, and there's not a, you know, you see them walking across the golf courses on YouTube and stuff, and everybody thinks, oh my God, there's a alligator in every yard. Well, there's not. So, hallelujah. We appreciate you being here with us tonight and Sunday. It was wonderful. We had a wonderful time. And Gary Carpenter, I'm just going to say it like this. Gary Carpenter is going to be here with us April 6th.
Amen. Yay.
Yay. Thank you. Do you want me to clarify and say it's going to be on the big screen behind me? But it's really neat because we're able, Harry set it up. Now, I got to tell you all that are watching, the streaming company that we have, Resy, it's you're getting to watch us kind of a little delayed. So there's like whatever miracles take place, you're like a minute and a half behind. Sorry, that's just the way they do it for all kinds of, they say, good purposes. But Harry's got a way we set up where we can communicate with Gary in real time, and I can, you know, so he was here just a couple months ago, and first Sunday service that we had in the year, it was great. So I'm really looking forward to those days where they have, you know, the technology goes where there'll be holograms. And so we can just put Gary right here in the front, and he can just walk up and down in a hologram, and hey, it's very possible. That's coming, that kind of technology. So we'll see what happens. Mark Zuckerberg says that we won't be having cell phones too much in the next 10 years, people are getting, I'm thinking, how in the world? And I still don't agree with what he says. He said it'll all be glasses. You'll communicate. Have you read that? Yeah, but I don't see that happening. But you know what? I didn't see cell phones coming either. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. He's talking about that they have those kind of glasses where, you know, it's communicating to the deaf where they can read in real time what's being said to them. So every day something new is taking place, but we're headed towards the greatest outpouring that this planet has ever witnessed. Hallelujah. Pray with me just for a few moments. Hallelujah. Not really any notes, some prophecies that we're going to read and see what he says. Father, we love you. We can do nothing of ourselves. We depend upon the anointing of God, and only Holy Spirit can bring that. It's not anything of the flesh that anybody needs from us. It will not profit. Your word is spirit. Your word is life. And we pray that even the words that you've spoken through prophecy, they are spirit and they are life. Guide us, Holy Spirit. We just love you. We depend so much upon you. Jesus, we thank you that you're the healer. You're the manifestation. You're the manifester, Holy Spirit, of God in the house. Thank you for the angelic host. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's people here that I want to... And people watching, I want to encourage you. I don't think we'll have a moment if he says, but for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're continuing. I just want to encourage you. If you don't speak in tongues, that is something or someone that you need very strongly in your life. Nobody's going to push the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit down your, hate to say that, down your throat. That's kind of, but anyway, it's not something to be pushed, but it's something to be received, and He will convince you. Hallelujah! I prophetically, I hear the Holy Spirit saying to someone or to maybe a few that He's going to convince you. In fact, you're 90% there. Whatever it takes to get you over that little bit more, there's a peace coming, a tranquility by the Spirit that's coming, and a convincing to get you to that place where you just relax and receive. And we'll probably have, we have those services all the time, and it's very possible we have Sunday service at that. Let's believe that our Sunday services, you know, there's nice crowd here tonight, but there's always double or triple. But bring in the people that need to be physically healed. And we're not trying to test things. We have what they need. And so we praise God. I remind you of the up-and-coming Dayton conference. And we gave the dates on that Sunday, so praise God. I hope some of you are going that are here. And everyone listening. Let's go over, as far as I know right now, at least the prophecy that came Sunday. And Harry's going to pass that out to you. And sorry I can't hand you one through the camera, but it is on our website in recent prophecies. And you're going to get a page, a handout, and it's got a front and back. And the first one is the everlasting path. We went over that Sunday in that message, so we're not going to read that one tonight, but I've got a short, as I know, and that is to read a couple of prophecies, maybe listen to one, and to remind you of where we're at. That's pretty simple on my part, maybe concise. I don't know that we'll be here even the rest of this hour, but let's see what the Holy Spirit has for us. I just want to read this particular verse, and you don't have to turn there, but before we read this prophecy, And I want to continue to reiterate how important present-day prophecies are, because they are the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the word rhema of God. And so prophecy is the rhema of God. It's the present-day speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's the, if we can say it like this, the slashing sword. The Word of God, Logos, written word that we have in our heart, is often to be considered the shield of faith, fiery darts coming in, fiery missiles coming in. And we do the same thing that Jesus did. We say, it is written, it is written, it is written. But we understand that according to Ephesians chapter 6, that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is prophecy. You can use that in that sense of the word. And with prophecy, we can do the same thing that Paul admonishes Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son. He called him son, and he was not his physical son, as you well know, but his spiritual son, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went, I love the way this says this, because it has so much in it, which went before prefaced you and on you, or on thee, he says, that thou by them mightest war. Everybody say war. And then he says a good warfare. You know, it's simple enough to understand this, that there is always a war. But whether or not you are having a good warfare or just a warfare, it's not just a play on words. You can get your, excuse me, this may sound a little rogue, but you can get your spiritual brains beat out on a continual basis, still love Jesus, if you're not warring a good warfare. And a good warfare is an intelligent warfare by knowledge of the Word of God. Be not ignorant, we're not ignorant, Paul said, of his devices. The less ignorant you are, that doesn't mean stupid, ignorant means uninformed. The less uninformed you are, the more you're not going to, this is a kind of a backwards way to say it, the more you're not going to be able to war a good warfare. But if you understand, and if you understand that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and part of that is, now you can take, obviously this written word many times becomes the sword of the Spirit. It's the present tense word, the rhema word, or the necessary spoken word. It can be one word. It can just be one word or two words. The word spoken on the bow of the ship, if it was the bow of the boat, when Jesus said, peace, be still, that's what, three words. But it was the sword of the Spirit that calmed the storm right then. Here's the slashing sword, peace, be still. To the madman of Gadara, who rushed him on the beach and then pleaded, the demons pleaded for mercy, in which he really didn't give them, though that's a message of another time. But when he said, G-O, go, that's the sword of the Spirit. And there was no debate, because Jesus spoke the sword of the Spirit. And Paul says here, my son Timothy, why does he call him his son? Because spiritually speaking, it wasn't just that Paul was older and had become a something that Timothy patronized as, okay, this is a good man, I respect him. He had actually become his son in the Spirit. In other words, Paul had passed down to Timothy all his doctrine, and Timothy had not varied in it at all. He didn't take it and say, you know, I can improve on this by adding something to this. I can improve on this at Ephesus, which Paul left him there to become the pastor of the church. And this book of 1 Timothy is a father writing to a son, warning him about the false teachers that would come in and telling him how to conduct himself of a man that's 30 years old, maybe 35, they say, 30 to 35. But he calls him his son because he is his son, because everything that Paul was, he had imputed into Timothy, and Timothy had grasped it. And Paul knew this, everything that Timothy is going to teach is just like I'm being there. He's not going to vary in it at all. He's not going to add to it, but he has become my son in the spirit. Now, my greatest desire is that even as I became, I know you can get goofy spiritual with this, and that's not where we're at. But as I became one of many, it wasn't like I was just one in a little sectarian type box. But as I became one of many sons that sat under Pastor Dave, and learned so much of what we're now teaching concerning the four pillars, we duplicated that. So Pastor Dave went on to heaven. You know, you could argue maybe earlier than what any of us wanted him to, but he lives on because there are sons of his and there's daughters of his. And my greatest desire is not that you emulate me, but that the doctrine that I have, that I pass on to you. And so Paul was writing to Timothy to try to get him past the fear that he was probably feeling and all the things that he was going through. That's why he wrote and said, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You're watching me be persecuted, Timothy. So I want to let you know that no matter what you ever face, if they come to get you like they've come to get me, God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And besides for that, Timothy's history tells us that he's pastoring thousands at 30 years old. So how would you like to be at 30 years old? And Harry, how old are you? 30 years old. You just turned 30? Yeah, not long ago. So he's I love Harry, very wonderful young man. But at 30 years old, how would you like to be the head pastor of 10,000 people? And that's why Paul is admonishing him. He's telling them, don't despise his youth. And he's telling Timothy, don't rebuke an elder in front of everybody, because Timothy's probably feeling like, I got a bunch of elders that I need to rebuke. But here Timothy's 30 years old and he's pastoring all these people. And so Paul gives him this. He says, remember the prophecies. How does he say it? And I love to say it like he said it. He said, which went before, they went on thee. God spoke these things to me, and I prophesied these things to you, that thou by them, these prophecies, mightest war a good warfare. So I don't know how many he gave him. Was it 5, 10, 15 prophecies? Was it 2 or 3? Was it 1, plural here, the prophecies? So it was more than one. But Timothy had access to this. Timothy had access to the Old Testament. New Testament's being written. He receives this epistle. This is part of it. He can war with this. But there were prophecies. There were actually, as we call it, present-day speaking prophecies that Paul said, Timothy, the Holy Spirit... Paul didn't do it, but the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul and said, you're going to need these because you're going to have to go back to them at times. When you get up at midnight, Timothy, and you're warring, this will help you have a good warfare. When the enemy says, you cannot pastor this church, you're not mature enough, you don't have the answers to pastor, what are you going to do about this situation? Timothy, God's put these in preface for you, so you war with them. Well, how do I war with them? One, you read them, you acknowledge them, and then you speak the things that have been spoken by God in a sense of sword decreeing, saying, this is what God said. This is what God said. When you do that, there's a couple of things that happen. One, you release, the world would call it energy. We call it power, Didymus power. By word spoken and agreeing with God, God's power, Holy Spirit, under forces, undergirds everything that God has said. His word will not return into him void. Also, you activate angelic activity. Angels are going to be much more enthused about doing for believers that speak the word of God and even speak the prophecies of God. Basically, their hands are tied if you're mute. If you're on mute, if your mute button has been pressed and you're taking it on the chin, you're taking your physical body being afflicted, if you're mind is up against emotional attack, your finances. God can only do so much. But when you war with the sword of the Spirit, and a lot of times it's like the word that has been spoken to you, right, as Timothy received. Now let's go on. That's enough preface on why we use these words. So let's look at the room of, or inside the room of expectancy or expectation. And I'm going to read this. And listen, so you've got this, you've got two of these. And so let's look at this first one together, or this one together. Step inside the room of expectation. This is what God said, and this was just Sunday. Turn loose of human expectation and fall back into a place where the impossible becomes possible. Says the Spirit of grace. Let your expectation be always knowing that prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks, that I would call that worship, and all confession before me is not one time. It's not whenever you did it. But it's a, and I like the way the Holy Spirit said this, and I couldn't have thought of this myself, but it's a life that's living. A life that is living. I want you to catch that. A life that is living. In other words, when you do these things, the Holy Spirit is saying it's a life that's in a living process. It has gone out and it has its own strength. It has its own inertia. It's in a living process of producing something. And I am using these things to bring forth the expectation of your heart, says the Spirit of grace. I want to go back to that. It's a life that's living, a life that's living. So in the same way that we think about revelation knowledge, how many of you remember Pastor Dave talk about how that when you sow the word in you, how that it produces revelation knowledge, and it's not just at that moment when it appears. He used to talk about you sow the word by meditation, by reading the word, by meditating the word. And then he said, you know, it's just amazing. Day and night meditation is the man that day and night, what does Psalms tell us? It's day and night meditation. But he says, You can't dictate, once you put that word in there, the timing of it. In the sense of the word, he said, you would be, he said, it's dangerous. And I can't do it like he used to, but he said, you might be driving across an icy bridge and, you know, having to have all your physical faculties in place. And all of a sudden, something that you've been meditating for months, that life germinates. It comes to full fruition and you're like, oh my God. And you're like, keep your eyes on the road. You need to keep your eyes on the road. Well, in the same way, that life that is living, the Holy Spirit's trying to translate unto us that we need to believe that what is taking place in us, even in the physical realm and all those things, a miracle should be expected right now. I might have set it in place a while back, and I expected it then, But it is continually in a process of germinating. It's a continuing in a place of coming to full fruition. And he says here in paragraph 2, so as you worship me, no matter where you are physically, no matter what is going on emotionally, step inside that room of expectation always. Now, I think Dave used to call, I don't think it would be amiss to say that Dave would call this room the room of agape. You remember him talking about stepping into that room? And he says, step inside that room of expectation always, that the thing that you've believed for is not only in the process of change, but in the expectation of completion. Like, this thing can happen right now. And I'm walking, says the Spirit of Grace, I'm walking in fear. What are you walking in fear about, Pastor? I'm walking in a godly fear that a whole bunch of things that I've been believing for are happening, could happen right now before the service is over. And so that room of expectation is where he wants us to stay in and believe for, is according to what he's saying here. Do not wait for what you would term a miracle service or some kind of extraordinary events and services to take place. The unordinary and the thing that are extraordinary are scheduled to happen in your life, in your services, in your homes, as a result of the very seedbed and the very foundation by which all these things are being prayed into existence, says the Spirit of Grace. So with every moment, everybody say every moment.
Every moment.
Yes. Every moment, with every passing moment, stay in the Spirit, says the Spirit of Grace. Stay in the Spirit in the service. Stay in the Spirit as you walk and live and move and have your being in Christ. And you'll find that these things are occurring and will come online at what the flesh would call unexpected times, says the Spirit of Grace. Stand and wait in the place of expectation, says the Spirit of Grace. Hallelujah. Sunday was a really wonderful time, and I just got caught up in the Spirit. Gay says, I love it when you don't have notes. And I do too, but I like it when he gives me notes as well. But you guys all witnessed that my dad came up, and I didn't expect him to come up. You guys are really precious to him. I appreciate your patience. But he has, I'll say it in the past tense, suffered from something called trigeminal neuralgia. Now, there's a pain doctor probably watching. He knows far more than I do what this is about. But it is three nerves that come down, I guess, in the cranial area and somewhere in the cheek, or all the way down to the chin, really. He has suffered with this for probably about 10 years. When I was growing up, he never had that problem. I don't know what brought it on. We know the source of all real sickness is the enemy. But it is unbelievably painful. It's just unbelievable. It's like, I don't have it, never will have it, and I never really had migraines. I don't know if I've ever had a real migraine. I've had some, what they, like a headache maybe. But they say migraines will put you in the dark for 2 or 3 days. Yeah, and I've never had anything like that. But this is so painful. It's these nerves are like electrified. They send off electrical impulses to where that you can't touch his face with a feather, and he really gets into it. It's taken him at times into almost a panic, excruciating mode where he becomes unfunctional. It's just, you know, if you read about it, people commit suicide with it that don't have any answers. If they don't, now he goes bi-monthly and gets injections. A pain doctor gives him injections in the face in that area. And I'm just saying all this to say this, When that starts, he also has some other medication. It's not opioids, but it's another medication to keep that area calmed down. And when that starts, it's like a cascade. It usually doesn't stop until he has to get in a real quiet place, hopefully lay down and just not move. He can't chew. He can't do anything. And then I've had, I guess, numerous times, I know at least a couple, probably two or three, where I've had to call the ambulance and they take him and they can't do anything at the hospital because a pain doctor usually has to go in and start putting the injections in those areas, and it takes a while. I'm saying all that to say this, once that starts, it's lights out. I mean, in the natural, it's just kind of get him someplace where you can get him settled and try to, and it's really bad. It's two or three days. And I've seen him where he doesn't even know who he is because it gets so bad. It started Sunday, and I didn't know, but it started in church. And it was, here it is, about to escalate. And he comes over, and you saw him standing here, and he said, this thing is hurting my face again. And I knew he was about to, you know, do what I don't know if he was going to panic. He didn't seem like it, but I could tell it was starting to really get to him. And it wasn't when I pick him up every Sunday and bring him to church. So he wasn't then, but it started, and it can start. I've seen it start just with no provocation. So he's standing here and I laid my hands on him and the power of the Holy Spirit, I saw it, I can say I saw it or felt him when I saw him go into his face. And I saw that. And I thought, that's the miracle. I can see that taking place right now. So you all were, anybody that was here knows that within, he sat down and then he disrupted again, but in a nice way. But he goes, it's gone. And it was completely gone. Immediately. That was an immediate miracle. And if you know anything about that trigeminal neuralgia, that for that to go within 2 minutes or a minute or whatever, absolute miracle. So praise God. So we're entering into this room of expectancy that is like nothing else that we've seen before. Folks, have I told you, I don't know if I've told you this, but Immokalee's in revival. Hey, I don't know if I've told you through the camera, but where you're at, revivalist, we're in revival. It started, but it's going to escalate. It's going to places we've never seen before. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what I'm excited about? And when I tell this, I got to say this, because a lot of times preachers will tell where they're at, and that's good. And people will say, wow, he's in a good place. But I'm saying this to say that the only reason really that I have any permission or want to say this is to say that this is, what's a good word? Microcosm or an example of where God is taking all of us. I'm going to say something about myself personally. Now the Lord came to me February the 20th and, said some things to me that I haven't shared with anybody. Nobody will hear it except my wife. I've actually told her I've got something to share with you at some point. And it's just personal things and things he said to me. And all good. But by the way, let me interject this. I was praying, and he may have done this before. I can't remember. Probably, but it had been so long. You know, we always talk about keeping a note, something you write notes down on when the Lord speaks to you. And 99% of my communication is me praying, worshiping. I can hear his voice either through a witness, a strong revelation type witness, or sometimes I just hear just like English and often. But that morning, as I was praying, as I began, he came on me prophetically, and that's not unusual, usually he will just speak to me in my spirit. I can hear it. And sometimes there's a dialogue going on where there's no word spoken. But he prefaced, I don't know how the Holy Spirit, he just tells you, but I'm about to speak some words and I want you to speak them out loud. I want you to prophesy them about yourself out loud. That was a little unusual. And then he gave me time. It was like, go ahead and do this. So I grabbed my cell phone to where that I could go to voice recording. And for 3 minutes, the Holy Spirit prophesied, like he does in church, prophesied to me. So I've got all that down, and then I was able to, transcribe it out. But he said some things about where we're at. I say we because where we're at and, where we're going. And when that took place on Sunday, that instantaneous miracle, it just happened just like that. Then Monday, I was worshiping God. And I said, thank God. I'm glad my dad got healed. That's really good. But I was really glad also that I saw something instantaneous that I had witnessed that doesn't happen instantaneous. And I was excited about that. And so I, Sunday night, I'm thinking about it. You think about stuff like that two or three times. And thank you, Father. I worship you. But I equivocated it or chalked it up to the anointing that was in the service or the anointing that was on me to minister. More or less, can I say this, as a gift, the gift of faith that was on me or the gift of healings or miracles that was on me. And I kind of said, I thought to myself, praise God, because I've been claiming all the gifts, to be manifesting through me. And so that was really neat. And so I was thanking the Lord that the gift of whatever, the miracles that was, but I was out in the garage Monday morning. That's usually either I'm working out or running on the treadmill. And that I actually walk on Monday because I have to walk slow enough where I can pray in tongues and listen to Gary Carpenter at the same time. So I'm starting to do that or in that, and I was worshiping. I was thanking him for the day before Sunday, and the Holy Spirit, and I was like, thank you for that. Because in my mind, I'm still thinking that was a gift flowing through me. And it was of sorts, but the Holy Spirit corrected me. I mean, just as plain as I would talk to Carl, and the Holy Spirit said, that wasn't a gift, as you think of a gift, that was in you. That level is in you. That's innate. That's something that came out of that place where Paul said to the church at Corinth, desire spiritual gift, earnestly, yearn, lust after these spiritual gifts. And yet I show you chapter 13, a more excellent way. And so can't preach all that, but the excellent way was taking a mature church, an immature church that was fighting and gossiping and had their favorite preacher and had some all other nasty stuff going on. And yet they came behind in no spiritual gift. And Paul continues to say, okay, you got to clean up all this stuff. Don't despise prophesying. Continue to prophesy. Continue to speak in tongues. But I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13. And he goes into all those things about these things are done in part. They're done in part and done in part. And that which is perfect comes, that which is in part is done away with. Well, that's a whole nother message, but you've heard me teach on it to some degree many times before in the past. But the parts were slotted to bring a balance to a great imbalance. It was in part because there was those that were saying, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Paul, or I'm of, I'm of Cephas, and there was all these imbalances. There was all these divisions. And so the Holy Spirit had to do things in measures or in parts, really to keep people from becoming so prideful and boastful that they could still come into the church and work together in unity. But when that which is perfect has come, and that's where we're headed. we're headed to where you've heard me. I wish I had one in here. We used to have prayer cloths. I'm not going to steal Candy's blanket because she'd beat me there. Okay, yes. Where we're headed is, and where we're supposed to be, everybody say supposed to. Where we're supposed to, not supposed to, but supposed to. But where we're supposed to be at is like the maitre d', or the waiter, rather, at a fine restaurant. And I don't know that I've ever been to one that had this. I've been to fine restaurants, but I don't know that I've, but you, I see this in movies, you know. I think it might have been in Casablanca. So, but anyway, the waiter comes and he's like, ma'am, sir, this is what's on the menu. What would you like? I'm here to serve you at this fine restaurant, and the whole menu is available to you. And so the church is not supposed to be, in part, thank God for the spiritual gifts, and it's still the same Holy Spirit that flows with that gift, but it's not in part, because it's like Jesus. He never came to anybody and said, not working in that gift today. That's not working. I know you need blind eyes healed, but you know, the anointing of deaf ears is on me today. But the blind, and I honestly, I've heard the testimonies of people in the past, the old timers, and I'll tell you, I'm not even there yet, but they would give testimonies, and I love them. I honestly, I don't make fun of them, but they'd say, Sister so-and-so had the anointing to get people's eyes healed, or Brother so-and-so had the anointing. Man, they had the best record of getting people's deaf ears. And so people would think, man, if I had a deaf ear, or if I had a hurt back, I need to go to Sister so-and-so. They got that. That's wonderful. Get them healed. But you're supposed to have it all. You're supposed to have, look, hey, I can serve you because I'm not trying to pull on a gift. It's all inside of me. And so he wants us to live in that room of expectation. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and I said, in essence, yes, sir. Okay, I'll take that. You know, you got to humble yourself, even though it sounds like, okay, I'll take that. And that doesn't mean I have by any means arrived. And I'm not saying that to say, because I love it when preachers say, I've come to this place. But then I've sat there and thought, well, what about me? This is us. This is us. So did I finish? Did I read all of this yet? I did. Okay. So let's read one more. And I've already read this, I think, in a previous service a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this is another one of those prophecies that gives us an air of expectancy of the present tense working of the Holy Spirit and where we're supposed to live in this year. I started out my part in the Brazil conference by using this prophecy. It's not plagiarizing, because it came from the Holy Spirit, but Gary Carpenter spoke it. And it was on February 23rd, and it was entitled, The Year of Believing. And I'll read it to you, and it's at his website, of course, and you can get it there. But the year of believing, the time of WANDERING, wondering, and WONDERING is over. Crossing over now into the land of your inheritance. Conquer those few remaining strongholds of unbelief and possess what is yours. Hey, church, let's conquer the last. Let's put our foot on the last part. Listen, I don't care what drives you in or what takes you in. If it's agape that says, I love Jesus, I want to go in. Or if you're just so miserable with yourself, go ahead and go in. Whatever it is that you need, whatever, don't worry about the motive. Just go ahead and conquer the last. Hallelujah. When Paul says to Timothy, he says, in one part, he says, exercise You've heard me exhort on this before, but the word exercise is gymnazo, which is gymnasium. So he says, gymnazo thyself unto godliness. That's the word exercise, gymnasium, exercise thyself at a gymnasium. And the word gymnazo means to practice without any clothes on, or to fight without any clothes on. And what he's saying is this, when they went to what was called the palaestra, the fighting place, they started stripping off. Now you can say that's perverted, but you could also say this, it was for the purpose of focus. They could not be clenched by their clothes. Their clothes could not. And so there's a place that the Holy Spirit is saying to all of us, it's time to, spiritually speaking, according to the flesh, go in and whatever, don't put up with the nagging flesh. Go ahead and just say, I'm stripping off. I'm just going into this place. No excuses, no little pets that I'm going to keep. And say, I want God, but man, I'd like to take this little pet with me. It's my lap dog. Man, you need to get a bulldog in the spirit, or be a bulldog in the spirit. Okay, I'm preaching instead of teaching now, so hallelujah. So he said, this is the year of believing. Conquer those few remaining strongholds of unbelief and possess what is yours. The year of inheritance. The year of obtaining. This is Holy Spirit speaking. The year of possessing the land, the year of harvest, the year of manifestation. Now, when we understand about the year or the season or the kairos or whatever we're talking about, when the Holy Spirit says these things, it's not that, and I'll reiterate what I've said to you 1,000 times by the Spirit. It's not like God picks like a calendar date and says, that's the date. Okay. 2025, I'll pick that. That might be a cool year to move. It's because the culmination of prayers, intercession, people praying on the planet, not just our church, but people all over, when God gets a full investment of authority, then he can come to prophetically say, by the sword of the Spirit, the present day speaking, now's the time, expect things to change. So we understand that, and that's a good understanding to have. Instant miracles, be expecting instant. I like instant. Everybody say instant. Instant miracles, instant manifestations, be expecting instant manifestations. Allow my bare arm to be manifested in strength through your bodies. I have answered your prayers, and I am stretching forth my hand to heal and do signs and wonders by the name of my son, Jesus Christ. Hold not back my bare arm through unbelief. Believe. See and say. Now, I'm not reading now. I'm just saying, see the miracle. Say the miracle. See the miracle. Say the miracle. See and say. This is how Jesus ministered on earth. And this is how he ministers through you today. See what I'm doing and do likewise. Say what I'm saying and watch the power flow. See and say. See, you know, if you go to sleep tonight saying see and say, maybe you'll wake up with your miracle. Fresh eyes, you shall see more clearly with the eyes of your spirit man than ever before. You shall walk in truth as never before. Reality for you is no longer those things seen in the world. Reality for you are those things that exist in the kingdom of God. You shall no longer accept what the natural eyes perceive as being truth. My word is truth. You shall see with the eyes of Christ within you and shall discern truth as it really is. I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. Doubt not my spirit's willingness to manifest truth through Christ in you. See and say, my spirit shall perform all my good pleasure as you do so. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory. Thank you, Jesus. So we had one more prophecy, but I think that's it. I think that's it for tonight. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about revival. He says, keep going, keep going. Hallelujah. How many believe with me that we're going to have a miracle service on Sunday? Amen. Jesus, we worship you. We see and say, we see a crowd forming in the parking lot. We see a crowd in the field. We see a crowd pushing in at the doors. We see, as it were, those that would position themselves on the rooftop, like the man they let down, the paralytic they let down before Christ. Desperate people. We see an atmosphere falling on this city, over Dayton, over Tulsa, over many different places where people are represented here tonight. Atmosphere, atmosphere, atmosphere. Jesus, Holy Spirit, we see and say, atmosphere, which is revival, which is kingdom of God come and will of God be done. We love you, Father. We court these things. We court you. We lean into you. We speak these things. We see and say, Lord, Immokalee is in revival, and all the manifestations of your glory are manifested here. And it's not by gifts alone, but by that which has come to us and now is beginning to be a part of an inhabitable place within our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have something to give tonight, there's an offering basket, bucket, or something at the back door. We appreciate all of you that are giving online. You make it possible, and we love you. Thank you for it so much. God bless you. Be blessed, and we will see you again on Sunday. Amen.